Just like that, we're back. I'll Talk If You'll Listen, episode 71. And as you can tell by the title, I have a lot to discuss. Now, there's always a little lingering thought in the back of my mind, and I'm sure at the back of anyone's mind that is in some sort of field like this, whether it be radio, podcasting, a TV show, a vlog, anything that has a person in a position to give an opinion and put it out there, there's a thought at the end, at the back of their minds, that, and sometimes in the front of their minds, that goes, should I say this? Should I give this opinion? Now, I'm sure this won't be the first time I'll talk about this, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but you gotta kind of play this game. I personally like to be unapologetically me, as very millennial-esque as that sounds. For me, I like to add a little bit more substance with that. Anyone who knows me personally, some of you don't know me personally who listen. Some of you do. Some of you have gotten to know me, I like to believe, personally, by listening to this. Gotten to know me better. I'd like to think, with few exceptions, that I am on this podcast the very same way I'd be, for the most part, behind closed doors. Now, the only reason I'd say for the most part is because there are some things that, in my opinion, would be very tone deaf or very... would be definitely taken the wrong way if I get behind the microphone and say it. And I'd like to think 90 to 95% of the things that I'd say, I would get behind this microphone and say. And a part of me, call it self-centered, call it selfish, call it egocentric. A part of me likes to think that's why you all listen. A part of me likes to think that's why you keep tuning in. You want to hear my opinion. Maybe I can express a thought a way that maybe you haven't thought about, or maybe you can't, or chose not to. Maybe there you found yourself in a discussion or a debate or a conversation with a friend, colleague, family member that maybe you were like, you know, I really wish I had a point. And I've even had some people come to me and tell me, like, there have been times where I've been in the car in a room with somebody and this topic comes up and I kind of just sit back, shut up, hit play for like 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then when they're done, I go, okay, that's what I meant to say. Just like Tim said it. And I feel great when I hear stuff like that. I feel amazing. But at the same time, it's like this burden of responsibility of like, should I say that, right? There's also this thing that some of my mentors, like Bill Burr, like a Dave Chappelle, like a, in some cases, Joe Rogan, certain people will kind of get up and say, hey, Ricky Gervais, another person, you can get up and joke about anything. You can talk about anything. It really depends on the intent and who's the audience to determine or dictate your intent behind your joke, your comedy, your statements, your entertainment, whatever. Only you know that, or the people you're in the room, the writer's room, in my case, the writer room. And you kind of, you say what you say, you throw it out there, it's up to people to interpret it however they want to, but they don't know what the intent is, right? But you, at the end of the day, especially when controversy, like Bill Cosby, like Sha'Carri Richardson, it makes you really pause for a second. I'm taking my notes, I'm jotting all my notes down on my phone, and there were certain parts where I'm like, should I say that? Should I do that? And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be me. At the end of the day, I'm not big enough to be canceled. And honestly, again, the sword that I'll fall on, that I'll die on, is I'd like to think that you all keep tuning in to hear my opinion. That said, there's also a part of me that feels like, and I don't want this to get misinterpreted as I'm the voice of the people, because by no means am I saying that. But there's another part of me that feels like usually the popular opinion is really just the loudest opinion. There are much more people who either don't care or they feel another way. They're just either not in a position to share their opinion in the best way, or if at all, or B, they just don't care enough to even voice their opinion about it, and they're going on about their day. There are people, believe it or not, you think the whole nation is talking about it, the whole country cares. The vast majority of people don't even care about the Olympics, let alone Sha'Carri Richardson, or don't even care about Bill Cosby at all. And again, the media, social media in general, and maybe some of the goings-ons in your everyday life will have you to believe otherwise. And then you have people, whether they're something as huge as The Read or whether it's something as small as my podcast, we have to stay relevant, right? So we have to find these topics to talk about it. Now, me personally, I talk about relevant topics and I like to kind of dissect everything and peel back the onion, so to speak, and take a more objective or philosophical or empathetic approach to certain topics. Whereas I think other podcasts and other radio shows and news shows and talk shows probably talk about it because, like, they have to stay relevant, right? They get somebody on, they interview them, things of that nature. And I think I'm relevant by accident. There are these things that happen, and quite honestly, a lot of the times, I'm not really even too concerned about stuff, but I'll have certain people ask me my opinion. People will call me oftentimes before the show because I got to maintain the consistency with the schedule, right? I got to put stuff out at the same time in general all of the time. I can't drop a surprise podcast on y'all on a Wednesday. Now, again, I could do that, and there's no harm in doing that, but when people expect stuff to come out Sunday night / Monday morning, that's when they're looking for it. You know, they don't want to miss. I know me personally, I listen to Bill Burr's podcast, and his podcast drops every Monday and Thursday. If I tuned in and I saw that he dropped a surprise episode on Tuesday or Wednesday or something, I wouldn't be upset or mad. But it would have been like, oh, man, I wish I had known about that. You know, there would have been that sense of, you know, you'd have been bummed out a little bit. So, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of got to get in where you fit in. And I get that. But this episode probably will be very controversial. It'll probably have a lot of opinions that some of you strongly disagree with. I'd like to think that most of you probably feel this way, but you don't want to get on a public platform like I'm about to do and give your opinion or say certain things. So hopefully I can represent the people who feel like they can't say something. And again, by no means will I ever get on any hill, at least right now, and say that I'm the voice of the people, because I'm far from that. But again, I'd like to think that some of my opinions are shared by a lot of people, and they are afraid of the public backlash or their friends shunning them or shaming them, so they don't say anything. So here's my opportunity to do that. Before I get started, just a few housekeeping things. I'm going to start with the Sha'Carri. So here's how this format. And I apologize. I'm pretty sure her name is pronounced Sha'Carri, but I want to say Sha'Carri because I see that AR. And I want to make that R sound, but I'm almost positive. I watched her in an interview, and she said Sha'Carri. So don't castrate me, guys, if I mispronounce her name. But I'm pretty sure it's Sha'Carri. Anyway, what I'm going to be doing is outlining kind of like the timeline of events. And I'm going to be doing that for a few reasons. The first reason is to kind of catch everybody up to speed, just in case you saw a tweet about something or you heard something on the radio, but you don't quite know the full context of the situation. And I'm also going to be giving my opinion during the timeline. I'm also going to be doing the same thing for the Bill Cosby thing. Now, obviously, I want you to stick around for the whole episode, but Bill Cosby's timeline is very complex. It goes way back to 2004 and earlier, but the timeline I'm taking a look at, I feel like I'm talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe here. But the timeline I'm taking a look at starts at 2004, it's a little bit longer. So all that to say, I'm doing that after Sha'Carri, because Bill Cosby's is a little bit longer. But we're going to talk about two things here. And throughout this whole episode, just like I encourage in some recent episodes and even some earlier episodes, I just encourage everybody to keep an open mind. I like to think that this podcast is a playground for discussions that can be held in a diplomatic way, in a very respectful and insightful way. And it bothers me when people don't, they hear an opinion that they don't like or they aren't for, so they block it out of their stratosphere. I made a comment on Twitter the other day where it really bothers me when people, now I want to be clear, it's everybody's right to use their social media how they see fit, as long as they aren't breaking any rules. You can block people for whatever reason that you want. If you want to be around a bunch of yes men or yes women, and you want to be in kind of like a circle jerk, and you only want to be around people who share your opinion, that's your right. You can do that. But it bothers me nonetheless when I see people going, hey, this is supposed to be a hardback book environment, and the second you come in with your paperback book nonsense, I'm blocking you. It bothers me so, so much. So if you're listening and I say something that you don't like or you disagree with, I encourage you to have an open mind instead of just saying, you know what, I don't like what he's saying, let me stop listening. That's your right. But again, let's keep an open mind here. And with that, yeah, let's get right into the timeline here. Actually, you know what? I'm going to plug my charger in. Bear with me just a second. Okay. So whenever I'm reading articles on my computer, I try my best to find like the best angle, so that way I can see the computer screen and talking to the mic at the same time. But I apologize if I sound like a little distant or far away or anything like that. But we're going to take a look at the Sha'Carri Richardson timeline. So I'm going to give you all kind of like my brief overview, and then we're going to get right into the timeline. So basically, there is an Olympic athlete, and a really, really general overview. Olympic athlete who runs track tested positive for marijuana, and she could not participate in the Olympics. And I have a lot of opinions about this that I'm going to share during this timeline. So it's official. She's not participating in the Olympics. And that's what it is. So here we go. Juneteenth. With a winning time of 10.86 seconds in the 2020 U.S. Olympic trials, Richardson qualified for Tokyo in the 100-meter individual race. Doing so at the age of 21 made her the youngest woman to win the event at the trial since Elise Brown in 1980. Richardson becomes an overnight sensation. In an emotional post-run interview with her grandmother and other family members by her side, she reveals that her biological mother recently died. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to take pauses in between each of these landmarks, and I'm going to give you kind of a timeline of my emotions during this whole thing. So when I hear about this, I'm elated. Young black woman achieves this feat. It's that sense of pride. I almost feel like I'm on the black sports team of America. And I'm like, man, they not effing with us. You know, like nobody can compete with the black woman. Nobody can compete with the black man. No one can compete with the black athlete. We are just out of this world in any sport that we decide to take serious, whether it be tennis, whether it be, track and field, we dominate, right? That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling an overwhelming sense of pride. But here's the thing that I've only recently started to feel over the past couple of years. Whenever I hear news like this, I get really, really amped at the fact that we have a 21-year-old superstar that's black, that so many little boys and girls, black or otherwise, but especially black, are going to look up to and say, that's me. I can do that. She looks like me. Or she's not 30 or 40 or 50. She's 21. This is very attainable. I don't know about you, but I wasn't always really huge on sporting events as a kid. It wasn't until my early, late teens, maybe, I really, really got into sports. I did still find a time to look at certain people and going, I want to wear that jersey number, or I want those sneakers when I saw a particular athlete. And you kind of aspired to be these gods and goddesses. You really did. These superhuman, even arguably above human, more than human from a child's perspective, the superhero. I want to be like that. And I thought it was super dope to hear Sha'Carri get this, attain this feat and become an instant role model for so many little boys and especially little girls, more specifically little black girls, that can look up to her and go, that's me. That's me on TV. I can do that. So that's kind of like how I feel. And obviously, I can definitely empathize with the fact that her biological mother passed away. My mother passed away when I was 25, 26 years old. And she passed away due to breast cancer. And even though we had an estranged relationship, that's definitely something that you wouldn't necessarily want to wish on anybody, right? So definitely some empathy there. Moving on with the timeline, July 1st. It is revealed that Richardson tested positive for marijuana after winning the Olympic trials. Richardson accepted a one-month ban retroactive to June 28th, according to the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, or the USADA. Richardson was competing in Oregon, where marijuana is legal for recreational use. Richardson tweets, "I am human." Now, here's the deal. This is where I might lose a lot of you. So a part of me, in a really weird way, thought it was cool that this happened because it's shown a light on two different things. The first thing is, no matter how great you think somebody is, no matter how awesome you think somebody is, they give you a reason to relate to them even more. Oftentimes we see somebody in a position that we wish to have or we wish to become, whether it be a wrestler, whether it be a boxer, whether it be, in my case, a talk show host. And I see Jimmy Fallon or Conan or Seth behind that table, and I go, I can't wait to have that one day. Sometimes we can get to this point of either full-on or borderline idolization. And we idolize these people, and we think that they're above mistakes, that they're above flaws. And although the vast majority of the media will have you think when someone messes up, they don't deserve your attention, when I see things like that in a really weird way, I'm drawn to them even more, depending on what it is, because it makes me feel closer to them. Because I'm like, you know what? They're human just like me. They're capable of making mistakes just like me, and they could still have success. You can also use this effort as an opportunity to learn from someone else's mistake instead of having to go through it yourself. You never want to go through something like Sha'Carri went through, where you find yourself in this position where you have to deal with the consequences of the decisions that you made, and you're an Olympic-level athlete. So that's one thing. The other thing here, I was really disappointed because, I was really happy that it's shown a light on how people deal with grief and loss, because it's definitely an area that I feel like is under-discussed nowadays, and people deal with all types of loss and pain in different ways, and if people feel like they need to turn to drugs to do that, and regardless of what your feeling is about marijuana, it can still be classified as a drug. You gotta put, there has to be some thought there. Like, there has to be a discussion there that says, this person was hurting so bad that they turned to drugs. And this is what they believe to be their outlet to cope with something devastating. There needs to be a discussion there surrounding not only mental health, but grief and loss, especially for a 21-year-old, essentially, you know, I'm going to say young adult out of respect, but what most people would consider a kid. An adult's brain doesn't really fully develop into the age of, what, 26, 25, 26, something like that. So you have this kid, for all intents and purposes, dealing with something like the loss of her biological mother, regardless of what their relationship was like, that can cause a lot of mixed emotions and feelings. And she felt like she needed weed or marijuana to cope with that. I think that says a lot. I think that says a lot. I also had some conflicting emotions, because I'd be lying if I sat here and said I didn't feel, damn, Sha'Carri, now look what you did. I feel like as a people, we take one as far as the perception battle in this country for the black man and black woman. I feel like we take one step forward and two steps back. And I think like, geez, like, you know, you're a representation of, whether we like to admit it or not, you're a representation of America. You're a representation. You're representing your country in the Olympic, the world stage. It gets nothing gets higher than that. You can truly say you're all world champion if you compete and win in the Olympics, because it's a true representation of the talent across the globe. We call Super Bowl champions and baseball champions, you know, World Series champions. We use, even in wrestling, the world champion. Well, it's kind of limited to just your country in some cases, and in some sports it's limited to just your hemisphere, just your continent. You're not really competing with people across the world. The Olympics, you are competing with people across the world. You are a representation of your country. And if we can sit here and yell at politicians, and we can yell at police officers and other people in certain positions, and said they should have higher moral or ethical aptitude or comprehension level or intelligence level. And another term you hear is emotional intelligence, IQ or EQ. You should have a higher one than us normal people, so to speak, because you have to take an understanding of your surroundings and your situation. And I know some of you might be thinking that's a little harsh. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, that's a little too far. She lost her mom. Two things can be true. And you're going to hear me say this several times throughout this episode. Two things can be true. I can both think that it's a shame that Sha'Carri lost her mom, felt like that she needed weed to cope through that, and sought peace and solace with drugs. I get that. I can sympathize with that. But I can also feel disappointed that a young black woman effed up, let's call it what it is, she made a mistake. And now you kind of got this thing where it's like, now we're back in a perception battle again, right? And what I don't like, and I might lose even more of you, it's going to be like one person listening by the end of the episode. I don't like the tweet of I am human, because in my opinion, it has the tone of not taking accountability for your actions. And I know, again, some of you might not like that, but it bothers me. I kind of liken it to, I make a mistake, and instead of taking the accountability for my mistake, which she didn't do until after the tweet, by the way, I'm saying that, hey, I'm only human. I'm still a work in progress. I think that's a cop-out. And I think these are emotions that a lot of people may be feeling and are too afraid to come out and talk about them. But I'm just going to be real and transparent. I don't like the lack of accountability in anybody. Even at work, when people are late and they're just, you know, my bad, there was traffic. Or my bad, you know, my morning didn't go the way I planned or whatever. Where's the accountability for what you did? That kind of, in a way, will help people listen and empathize with your situation a little bit more when they see, like, you know what, this person really is beat up over the decision they made. You'll get more theirs that way than you will if by just saying, oh, I'm only human. Now, of course, you're going to get some support, especially for people who are pro-weed. They're going to say there's no big deal. And I have different biases against weed, but it has a lot to do with my relationship with my mom. But in general, if somebody wants to do that, that's on them. Like, I really don't, as long as you're not irresponsible with it, I don't really care. You can do whatever you want, especially in a state where it's legal. But a lot of people get confused. Just because something is legal at the state level doesn't make it federally legal. And there is still a rule, right? There is still a rule. You got to be conscious of that. As dumb as the rule is, this is where a lot of people will misinterpret my words and potentially even twist what I'm saying as I think the rule is a good rule. Honestly, I'm indifferent about the rule, if I'm being totally honest. I don't care either which way. But the fact is, there are rules in life and we break those rules, whether the rule is just or the rule is dumb or the rule is archaic. There are so many different archaic rules. There are some laws that exist that just never got abolished because the laws just have been around for decades and in some cases over a century. So they just sit there. And these laws, and in this case with the Olympics, some rules are maybe outdated or archaic or tone deaf and maybe need to be reevaluated as medicine and recreational marijuana use make a lot of progressive strides in 2021 and beyond. Yeah, maybe they need to be looked at again. But at the end of the day, a rule is still a rule. If I think jaywalking is dumb, that doesn't give me the right to jaywalk. And I hope that doesn't fall on deaf ears. You can think jaywalking is dumb. You can think it was a rule put in place to control you. You can think it was a rule put in place to make for the government or the city or the state, whoever, to make money. You can think whatever you want about the rule. But if you are aware of the rule and you still choose to break it, you can't blame the stupidity of the rule on your decision. Because you had to become aware of the rule before you broke it. Now, if it was an incidental thing when you were born yesterday and somehow have Benjamin Button syndrome and you were old enough to cross the street by yourself and there were no jaywalking signs and you had no idea what jaywalking is, you don't even know who Jay is, and you cross the street and you get a citation for jaywalking and you're going, what the heck is this? Okay, now you still broke a rule, but I think it's justification in there that, hey, I can understand, you know, this person maybe teetering on the accountability scale because they weren't aware of the rule. She was aware of the rule and still broke the rule. I understand why she did it. I sympathize with why she did it. There are some things that I've done in the past to deal with all different types of emotions. There are things that I turned to that weren't necessarily healthy. In fact, I can't say that for certain breakups, I drowned myself in alcohol. That's not great. But at the same time, two things can be true, y'all. That's all I'm saying. Two things can be true. Now, let's get back to this timeline. July 2nd, Richardson apologizes during an interview on NBC's Today Show, sidebar, which I think was really awkward, by the way. Didn't really seem too genuine. During the trial, she said she was told by a reporter that her mother had died, and the news caused her so much pain that despite knowing the rules about marijuana, she used it to cope with the loss. People don't understand what it's like to have to go in front of the world and put on a face and hide my pain, Richardson said. Who am I to tell you how to cope when you're dealing with the pain or you're dealing with a struggle that you haven't experienced before or that you thought you never would have to deal with? Following the announcement, Richardson received an outpouring of support across social media and from pro athletes. Now, I want to also pause and sit here and say this. This is a tough situation to be in, because if somebody sit here and says there's no excuse, I think it would be insensitive to say there's no excuse. There's always an excuse, but it doesn't make the excuse good or bad all the time. You know, there's always an excuse. An excuse can be a neutral thing, and it's really up to society to determine what was good and what was bad. Now, when you put it on paper, I say it's a bad excuse if you look at it, the fact that you knew what the rule was. But at the same time, as a human and also as someone who has turned to therapy and who in the past have to deal with so many dark emotions, I can totally get where, like, you don't care. You don't care about the rules and you just make the decisions. And, you know what? I'm so hurt right now, so upset right now. I don't care that I can't jaywalk. I'm just going to jaywalk because this is the way I need to cope. Or to use a more realistic, less humorous example, I don't care that there's a rule with marijuana. Hopefully I just won't get caught because I'm just too upset right now. So I need to smoke weed. And the issue is, regardless of how Sha'Carri felt, whether it be something like, you know, we weren't there, we're not in her head, we don't know, right? We weren't in the room with her as she was rolling up, as she was smoking. We don't know if she was hanging out with a bunch of friends. She's a young college student, or recent, you know, recently in college, might still be in college, at LSU, 21 years old. It's 2021. A lot of places, decriminalized or legalized recreational use for weed. And she probably was like, you know, I'm going to roll up and have a good time. Or she really could have been dealing with the death of her mother. I mean, we don't know. And, you know, again, I don't want this to be misinterpreted to say that she's lying or something. But it's the type of thing that no one's going to question, right? If you get on a public stage and you sit here and say, I punched a guy in the face because he insulted my late mother, no one's going to argue with that, right? But if you get on stage and say, I punched a guy in the face because he pushed me, it's going to have a different context, right? And I think that's something that... That at least crossed my mind. I mean, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but it crossed my mind of, you know, that's a narrative that no one's going to push back on. Not only that, you're going to get so much support. You're going to get support from two types of people. You're going to get support from the people who hear why you did it, and they're going to sympathize with why you did it. And you're going to get support from the pro-weed people. People who are pro-weed, and they smoke weed, they love weed, they think any law or rule that limits the use or bans the use of weed is dumb. So, of course, you're going to get all those people kind of on your back about it. But I think a lot of people are kind of indifferent. I think a lot of people are indifferent. They're like, I really don't care either which way. I don't have an opinion about weed. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's bad. I kind of just don't care. And I think that's the vast majority of people. I'd say at least like 40 to 50% of people are kind of like that. But yeah, there are a lot of people who are going to be like, oh, that's dumb. It's kind of like if, let's say you was late to work, right? And regardless of why you were late to work, your boss has a decision to make. Do I hold John Doe responsible for their inability to get to work on time? Now, what if you were late because you were driving and you saw an accident with a family? Baby was in the back of the car crying. Parents were unconscious at the front of the car. You stopped. You called 911. That was your good deed for the day. You potentially saved a family's life, more specifically a baby. Great. You were still late for work. Now, if your boss lets you slide on that and says, oh, okay, don't worry about it, you were late for a good reason, well, how does that reason... better or worse? And basically, now let's say I find out about that, or let's say, you know, the standard has to be the same across the board. Because now would I go, okay, what heroic feat do I have to do? Or what heroic feat do I have to accomplish in order to let my boss slide for me being late? Or better yet, you know what? My cousin needed a ride to work and missed his train, so I picked him up and dropped him off at work. That's why I'm late. Well, that's not good enough, Tim. I'm writing you up because you were late. Well, what makes my good deed any more or less than John Doe's good deed or Mary's good deed? What makes Mary's good deed less than mine? You know, that's when you get into really tricky territory, and that's how lawsuits come about. And that's what the rules are for. That's what the standard, like it or not. And I know some of you are probably rolling your eyes, like, oh, look at this Tim, this rule Nazi rolling his eye. You know, I get it. But you got it. If we don't have standards, like, what makes Sha'Carri's tragedy more tragic than the hundreds of other Olympic athletes who are going through things that we don't even know about? Who are going through things behind closed doors? What makes her tragedy more tragic than theirs? Why should she get a pass? And that's the question that's the question I asked myself. Why should she get a pass? Why should she get a pass? And this other Olympic athlete who potentially is going through some, you know, they could be in a violent relationship. they could have experienced a loss in their family. What if they were closer to a cousin than they were, than Sha'Carri was to her biological mother? Well, why is that relationship less than Sha'Carri's relationship with her biological mother? When you get into really sticky territory, when you get into like certain inconsistencies, and it's definitely something you got to watch out for. I know a lot of y'all might not like that, but it is what it is. On with the timeline, which is actually the last part. July 6th, Richardson is left off the roster, meaning she will not compete in the 4x100 relay in Tokyo. So I think it's a shame. I think it sucks for so many different things. At the end of the day, whether y'all believe it or not, I'm Team Sha'Carri, and I just really sympathize with her situation. I've gone down some dark paths with alcohol in the past. Over something as simple as a breakup. And although I can look back now and say it was simple, over something thing like a woman didn't pick me. And although that can sit back now and say that's kind of simple, in the moment, it was just as bad as I would think anything. And you really can't compare my pain to Sha'Carri's pain. You can't compare Sha'Carri's pain to Whitney Houston's mother's pain. You can't compare that pain to Christopher Wallace's, aka Biggie Smalls's, daughter and mother's pain. Everybody's pain is different. It's unique unto them, and everybody deals with things differently. I wasn't as close to my mom as much as Sha'Carri seemed to be. I wouldn't turn to substance abuse at the loss of my mother. But I know that when my grandmother died, it was a different type of hurt. So everybody deals with things differently. And I think it sucks that this young lady is missing the opportunity of a lifetime because of a poor decision. I think she should take accountability for that decision. And I'm glad to see that we have an opportunity for her to learn her lesson. But at the same time, I think it sucks. Again, two things can be true. And here's the last thing I'll say about this, and then I'm going to take a break. It really bothers me when people who don't agree with something support someone's poor decision. Whether you like the rule or not, whether you like Sha'Carri or not, and whether you're black or not, the one thing that remains the same is there was a rule and she broke it. And it really bothers me when I go online and I see people saying that we should let her run just because we don't like the rule. And you got to think about the greater implications. What type of accountability, what would it teach Sha'Carri if the Olympics let her run? What would it teach her? She would wipe the sweat off her brow and go, woof, dodged a bullet there. Or would she go, man, I knew nothing was going to happen. Would she go, see, I can do whatever I want and I'll still get what I want? We don't know. We don't know how she would have taken it. None of us know her well enough to be like, she definitely would have acted this way. And even beyond that, none of us can read the future or know the future. So we don't know what it would have done. But in my experience, based on my life's observations, usually when you let somebody slide, they're more likely to make the mistake or make the decision again because they don't take it seriously. That's why when you find a certain work organizations, you have certain type of work ethic. People are showing up late. People aren't filing or filling out reports. People aren't doing the best that they maybe need to be doing because you keep letting them slide. Same thing with school. Kids are going to continue to not do their homework. Kids are going to continue to not stay after school. Kids are going to continue to not do well in class because, again, parents and teachers keep letting them slide. Now, is there a population of people who all they need to do is dodge a bullet and they never make that mistake again? Absolutely. But you and I both know that we shouldn't expect that from everybody. And I think it doesn't really do well for Sha'Carri when you got a lot of people, big athletes like Dwayne Wade and Patrick Mahomes, getting on their public platform going, let her run, man, she should run. It kind of gives this message to her of, You can break the rules. It's okay. You're going to have people on your side. Now, the emotional side of me thinks it's dope that a lot of athletes, especially black athletes, have this black woman's back and they're not shunning her or demeaning her or pushing her potentially to an even darker place emotionally. Because if she turned to what she turned to deal with the loss of her mother, imagine missing the Olympics, letting your country down, and everybody in the country bashing you for it. I don't want to even think about where I could have pushed that young lady. So I'm glad to see that she has so many supporters. I think it was the USADA or some organization that basically enforced the rule or tested her in the first place, said they were definitely sympathetic and that the rule should be reevaluated. So I'm glad to see that. But at the same time, a part of me wonders, what message does this send to Sha'Carri about the decision that she made? I know I probably rubbed a lot of y'all the wrong way. I know some of y'all probably sitting here agreeing with me, but hey, that's what the comment section is for. If you're listening on Spreaker or YouTube, sound off in the comments below. I would really love to know what you're thinking and how you feel about everything. And if you think I'm an idiot, hit me up, you know, call me out and reach out to me. I would love to have a respectful, diplomatic discussion with you. And if you want to get disrespectful, I ain't scared either. I can throw some blows too. That said, look at that. Wow, that took much longer than I thought it would. And we still got to go through Bill Cosby. So I sit back, enjoy these commercials as you always do. And I'll holler at you on the other side of the break. Hey, y'all, I'm back. So this episode would be incredibly long. And I know I've done longer episodes in the past, but this episode, I feel, would be incredibly long if I went through this whole timeline. It is really, really long, and I don't want to bore you all with the details here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a brief summary, and I'm going to post a video exclusive to the YouTube page with the full timeline. So if you do want to go and check that out, another reason to follow me on Instagram and also to subscribe to the YouTube channel. But I'm going to say this. So basically what happened, longer short of it, is Bill Cosby was arrested and was given, I think, like 30 years in prison or something along those lines for allegedly having non-consensual sex with a boatload of women. Now, in almost every article that I have ever read about this scenario, one thing that was in common, and those were pro-Cosby and anti-Cosby, was the fact that he was, it said allegedly. Which, the first thing that I want to point out is crazy to me, that as long as you are guilty in a court of public opinion, you're guilty in the eyes of the law. And for him to be arrested and convicted with every article using the word allegedly gives me... leads me to believe, and again, I'm no law major, and I'm not as informed on this topic as maybe I should be, but I think that's weird. That's kind of like, a couple of people saying that you stole something, you maintain your innocence the whole time, and the judge says, hey, I am sentencing you to 30 years in prison for allegedly stealing something. You're going to go allegedly, you will probably have a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, to say the least. And it really bothers me that as long as there is a, what's the word? A topic that most people don't like, it can influence a judge's decision. It just goes to show you that our list losses, if you don't already know now, but our law system is imperfect. And as long as there is a human making decisions, there will never be any consistency, true consistency in our country, let alone the world, when it comes to the law. Now, I do still want to give an opinion regardless of the lack of timeline, again, which I'll be going into the detail later on in the week. On June 30th, Bill was released from prison and he's home now, in his Cheltenham home, Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. Now, I'll sit here and say this, and this is the best opinion I can form right now until I can read a little bit more. I think that if you don't like what something that someone supposedly or allegedly did, and you can't find proof that it happened, and it's just against person A's word against person B's word, I think you should reserve judgment until as many of the facts and details come out. I think that's the best thing you can do. One of my favorite quotes of all time that I'm probably going to misquote here is, "Rather be thought an idiot than open your mouth and prove somebody right." And that speaks volumes. None of us were there. None of us were there. We don't know who is lying, who's telling the truth. Obviously, Bill Cosby has way more to lose, so you can make a case that, you know, if he's going to lie as much as he can. But there's also a possibility he's telling the truth. And I think that just because you are very passionate and have a strong opinion on domestic violence, on, you know, sexual assault or rape, and you want to put any and everybody remotely close to that underneath the prison, that's your right to have that. But then when it gets to the point where if enough people feel that way, it could potentially convict an innocent man. And again, I don't know enough about the situation to call somebody innocent or guilty. I'm just saying in this hypothetical scenario, if enough angry people voice their opinion that it could potentially imprison an innocent man, I think that is scary. That is not a world I want to live in. That is crazy to me. And it's one thing about new evidence and misinterpreted evidence, or hey, someone was arrested in 1970 when a certain type of criminal technology didn't exist, and now that technology is here, and you know, we can go back and look and re-examine and cross-reference and yada yada yada, and we can determine that, hey, Jane Doe didn't do it. Okay, great. But when you don't have enough evidence, or not all of the details are being made public, or there is still an ongoing investigation, you have a right to have an opinion. But I think you should reserve judgment until all of the details come out. Because you could find yourself in a situation where you could let a guilty man go free, or let an innocent man go free. I'm sorry, imprison an innocent man. Purely off of the way you feel. That said, everybody, you know, sorry for the longer opinion this episode, but I think there were definitely some things that I kind of need to get off my chest. I hope you all had a good holiday. I didn't speak to you last week because of the holiday. I hope you all had a good holiday. I hope you all spent it with loved ones. And I know some of you have some conflicting feelings about Independence Day, 4th of July, especially if you are not white. But I will say, regardless of how you feel about the holiday, and regardless of if you recognize it or celebrate it or not, I hope you spent it with loved ones. I hope you had an opportunity to eat some good food. And I hope that you spent it happy and healthy. That said, everybody, I'm going to get going. I'm going to edit this bad boy down and get it out. And I'll be talking to you guys very, very soon. As always, I'll keep talking. If you're with me. Take care.